The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
What's coming up on today's experience? Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show, which have nothing to do with life. Wouldn't it be nice to smile when you get up? Wouldn't it be nice to smile when you get in your car? Wouldn't it be nice to smile when you turn the radio on? That's why we have sound effects. The review of the Goofy News, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think, a lot closer today than it was yesterday. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use, probably won't, probably should, if we want to become doers of the word and not just hearers only. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Good question. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I'll be your host for the next 5,400 seconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That's always an amazing process, isn't it? As you go through day by day, different things that you're functioning in and thinking about and considering and trying to make sure you're walking hand in hand with the Lord Jesus Christ, honoring the Father and empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's fun. But it's more cool to understand that God wants you to draw closer to Him every single day. Part of that, perhaps, is so that you can just get ready for how awesome eternity is going to be when you're hanging out with the Lord all the time. No crying, no weeping, no depression, no discouragement, no sorrow, but the fullness of joy. So if you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we want you to reach out to us. We encourage you to do that. You can call us by calling 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You'll reach Terrific T, and that's terrific. Or you can text us at 214-210-8483. Looks like everything's been working right on target. That's a good thing. 214-210-8483. Or you can email david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. In the meantime, I would encourage you to go check out our website. Is it fancy? No. I helped design it. It's not fancy. Can you say crayons? I know I can. Anyway, check out hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, so that's what you check out, and that's a good place to give, by the way, if you're feeling like you want to give, like we talked a little bit about yesterday. Before we get rolling too deep, we have Troy calling in, checking things out. We want to see what's going on with him, what's taking place, so let's fire that over. This is David. Is this Troy?
Yes, sir.
How are you, Troy?
Hey, I want to know something. You know Ethiopia?
I'm not familiar with everything that's going on there.
It's a black country, right?
Okay.
I mean, you know what I'm saying, mostly black people there?
You know what, Troy? I assume that's correct. Well, I don't have any idea what that, I have no idea what's going on there. Zero.
Well, you know, when Moses went to the wilderness, they say he married a black woman. Did he ever have any children?
I have no idea, but you're talking about Numbers chapter 12, verse 1, where he married an Ethiopian, or also known as a Cushite, which is the one of the same thing. It's kind of like saying you're from America or you're from the United States. And then Miriam and Aaron complained, and you know what God did? God smote them with smote Miriam with leprosy because she was not just speaking about Moses, but discouraging his decision. That was a bad call.
Well, let me ask you something. You know, Ethiopia, a bunch of them black Jews, right?
Well, there's Jewish people in every country. Yeah, so there's going to be all kinds.
Where did they come from?
Well, everybody came out of the 12 tribes, regardless. So when the 12 tribes in their rebellion were scattered to the ends of the earth because of their rebellion, the Jewish people went where? To the ends of the earth. See, that's where God scattered them. So is there
you don't
a question?
Think Moses had any children by that woman?
I have no idea. I am not positive. There's just no biblical record one way or another.
I know, and I've looked for it, you know.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. I don't know what that – is there anything in particular you wanted to ask in there?
Well, you know, Israel left them Jews in, them Ethiopian Jews, you know.
Well, there's going to be Jewish people of every possible tribe you can imagine just because God had scattered them throughout the world, which is also true of the Christian faith. There's going to be throughout – that's why Revelation says from every tribe, from every nation, from every tongue, and from every people – which tells you that everybody's going to be there to some degree who have acknowledged or accepted or received or yielded or surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. But they'll be from all over. It'll be a nice big harmony kind of thing. It'll be probably the one time that the whole world can sing and it will sound harmonious.
And nothing in the New Testament about Moses. Huh?
Nothing about his kids after that. Nope.
But okay, then. I don't know. I mean, I know there's Russians in Moscow, in Russia, but I know they came from Jews, you know.
Well, many of them are Sephardic and Ashkenazi, but that's a whole separate conversation. We'll deal with that another time. But I appreciate your call and trying to figure that out. I don't have an answer for you on that, though. Okay.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Take care. Bye bye. Okay. Troy trying to figure out the lineage. What's taking place with Mo? Do we have that sound clip from Mo? Do you got that Mo sound clip? This would be a nice time to play the Mo sound clip.
Hey Mo! Hey Mo! Hey Mo! Hey Mo! Well, yuck, 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 yuck.
All right. This is what you get from me. That's what you get. All right, let's get into this real quickly. Matthew, we'll just go into this, and then we'll do our trivia question next. But I want to go into this Matthew portion. We've been building up to this one moment, these two things that I've been waiting to teach on for about a month. So let's just get to it. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And then the tempter approached him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." He answered. Now, just stop right there. You know, there's a premise in Christian thought that says, don't even respond to the devil. Don't even do anything. It's like, look, you're allowed to answer. What you're not allowed to do is get into a conversation with Satan. In other words, he's a liar. So any conversation you have is going to be kind of like a suspect. I know you guys understand that. And so there's a group of people that have been involved in like casting out spirits, and they say, well, if you ask what the name is, they have to tell you. It's like, no, he doesn't. He's a liar. Now, he had to tell Jesus because Jesus knew everything, but Satan is a liar and his demons are liars. Like, stop thinking that kind of weird thing. Here's the thing I want you to be able to understand. When it says in Scripture, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil so he will flee or so that he must flee, you are entitled to say no, Satan. You have that entitlement. You're not entitled to say no, Satan. By the way, I wanted to ask you about hot sauce. What do you think is the best hot sauce out there? Okay? You're not entitled to do that. You're not entitled to say, what's your big plan here? Or you're not entitled to go down some kind of weird. You can just say no. You can just rebuke him just as Michael did. The Lord rebuked thee. He didn't get into a lengthy conversation. Jesus addressed Satan and said, hey, this is what the truth is. And what you and I need to be aware of is his answer. And this is what is so glorious. Jesus answered, what? What did Jesus answer? What are the first three words Jesus said to say? What did he say? It is written. So what is it that you and I have to have working in our minds and working in our hearts and working in our beings is the word of God so that we have the ability to respond when something wrong is coming our direction. It is written. By the way, that word written, that's the logos. Wait till you get to the next section because it'll just blow your mind in this one verse how Jesus kind of covered the front and the back end of all the things that God has to say. But what is it that you respond when the enemy's coming at you, when you have spiritual warfare, when you have the wrong things taking place or the wrong truths being communicated? It is written. Let me explain to you in the nicest way that knowledge changes, the development of knowledge changes. Do you know how we know that? We can kill people more in more ways now than we could 50 years ago. That's how you know knowledge is increasing. We can help people now more than 50 years ago, but we can also do worse things now than we could 50 years ago because you've got the tree of good and evil that Adam and Eve ate from, and the good and evil and the knowledge grow. But here's the thing that never changes, the truth. And we need to know the truth so that when the lies come and the darkness comes, we can say, it is written, right? All right, take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
All of mankind, destroying everyone and everything we find. He's the hug.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
First and foremost, we want to review our most important element of the day, and that is our DNA. Why is DNA important? Because a Christian should know what they're made of no matter what they're going through. Can I say this again as I've said it before? Let me do it real quick. Ready? More news is coming. I know it sounds prophetic, doesn't it? More, even different news today, tomorrow, and the next day, and for the next week, and the next month, and the next year, and the next decade. Da, da, da. That's good. So in lieu of that, we have to have a certain way, and we need to be. Our DNA, Christian DNA, has three elements. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Number two, never be ashamed. Never be ashamed of the Lord or in his words. And A, always be ready to
serve.
Serve! There you go. So it's three simple things. DNA. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Yay! Okay, let's get ready for our first trivia question. By the way, I did not get to say this, so I do want to repeat this. If you've got a prayer request or a praise report, you want to answer trivia, you want to do anything where you want to contact Reach, or you just need to bounce something off somebody, that's totally awesome. We're here for that. Here's the very first trivia question, Bible trivia question. In what book of the Bible do we find or do we read the words, "Whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing"? See, a wife's a good thing. Okay, all right. Where is that in the Bible? I'll let you do the book. And if you also know the address, which is the actual chapter and verse, you can tell me that as well. But if you think you know where it says in the Bible, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. A great thing in many ways. For me, I got really blessed. So I'm very blessed in that arena. I got the best. Call 972-445-0770 if you know it. You can also text 214-210-8483. I'm super excited to get to this teaching part to you that we're going to get to in just a second because it is super exciting. When I show you this one thing, it was something the Lord showed me today, while I was praying. I already did the preparation. I already knew what I was going to be talking about, but didn't quite catch the insight that I think the Lord was like, this is deeper than you think, Dave. You're going to have to really consider this. And then when that took place, I was like, oh, I didn't see that. So we're going to talk about that in just a split second. In the meantime, there's a couple things I need you to be praying about. I need some prayer. We are in this big transition period at my school, in the schooling process. So we're moving now where they're going to be hooking me up with a doctorate mentor. So I haven't had that process yet where we've talked or anything like that. So, you know, it's not that I'm nervous, but boy, am I nervous. See what I'm saying? So I'm telling you ahead of time. It's not – I have a lot of confidence the Lord knows what it is, but you have this anticipation, kind of an exciting anticipation. Just be in prayer that, you know, I'll just be kind of as mellow as I can be in conversation and try and let the guy get a word in. That's a hardy for me. That's just really difficult. All right, do we have somebody ready to answer the trivia question? Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Paul, David. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful.
Awesome. Blessed of the Lord, I assume?
Every moment.
Don't you love that? Great answer. All right,
All right.
Now, here we go. This is straightforward, but a really good one. In what book of the Bible do we read the words, "Whosoever finds a wife finds a good thing"?
I believe it's in Proverbs.
That is correct, sir!
All right.
Proverbs it is. And just so you can be aware, it's Proverbs 18:22. And it's 18:22. And the scripture's not trying. People in the world will say, oh, that just sounds, sexist or this or whatever. All the scripture is saying is, man, if you can find somebody to journey with and you can be blessed in that journey, that's good, man. That's good. That's what it's saying.
I found mine 31 years ago, and it's been a blessing every day.
Oh, that's a great statement. Great statement. And makes me proud just to be your brother. I mean, that's just an awesome thing to hear. And what a blessing the Lord's done in that. I did something last night, and Noel said, do it this way. And I said, boy, it's like there's the Holy Spirit, right? There's the Word of God, and then there's Noel.
That's right. I'm probably fixing to lose you, brother. I appreciate you letting me come in.
You got it, my good friend. I pray you have a blessed rest of the week, okay?
You too.
Okay, take care. Okay. All right, now get ready. That was a great phone call. Wasn't that great? I love that. All right. Now get this. Now I'm going to share something with you. So I haven't flushed this out the way I need to. Normally if I get something, I'll kind of like go, well, and then I write it down.
then I sit there and I examine it from 900 different angles. But this one became a little bit more clear to me. So listen to this. We were just talking about this. It is written response. This is, of course, in response to Satan trying to tempt Jesus, trying to get him to do something. The crux of the matter comes down to, you know, what's the most important thing here? Is it food or God's voice? Okay, that, I mean, I know you're going to get mad at me and say that, but I'll make it real simple for you. If you don't eat food, you will eventually die. If you don't have God, you will die and go to hell. So which one's worse? Okay. So, I mean, for me, that wasn't a complex thought or anything like that, but that's not the cool thing. It says this. He answered, it is written. The word written is logos in the Greek. Man must not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. That word in the Greek for every word is rhema. So Jesus uses logos and rhema. You're thinking, but okay, what? Well, I'll make it clear. The written word, which is most referenced to the writings of Scripture, the Word of God, and to Jesus Christ himself, and some people say it's logos. Okay, fine. I don't care about that. We're not talking about pronunciation there. We're talking about what it means. And it's the written word. It is written, man must not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's the rhema word, which is the spoken Word of God. That's when God speaks to you. That's when, before you even understand the written word, the Holy Spirit goes, knock, knock, I got something for you. Look up, I'm here. That's the different part of that. So what Jesus does, this is what the thought that I was sitting there praying about, thinking, man, I don't think I ever thought about this before. But Jesus covers the front end and the back end and how we're supposed to approach everything. And that is, first and foremost, it is written. The written word is the established word of God. It does not change. It does not have the variation people try to say it does in different translations. That's rubbish. Less than 0.1% is different in all the 83 major English translations, and not a single major doctrine. People are like, what about the words the and as? Okay, you need to get over yourself, because the and as just aren't that big of words. I mean, those are not words like justification and salvation, okay? So, you know, the and as. Thank you. So the idea behind this is to understand that the word is established for us. The Lord did it. The Holy Spirit wrote it through people. He didn't dissolve their personality, which is the verbal plenary process. He used them, communicated what he wanted to communicate. God is bigger than any translation. So when people give you a hard time about it, just laugh, because that means their God's really weak, and your God is supreme and the creator of all things. And then he says, in the written part, man must not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God, which is the spoken word. And you're thinking, well, what is that? Remember in the very beginning when God spoke the universe into existence? He didn't write it into existence. He spoke it into existence. And this covers all the times where the Lord speaks to you and me. Is when you – I'll ask the question, which is fair to ask. I just got into this debate yesterday. Is the spoken word that we hear as reliable as the written word that God has established? No. And the reason I say that is because I consider myself a terrible vessel. So when I'm hearing God, I know I'm just full of pollution and fault. So I don't trust myself more than I trust God establishing his word. But then again, does God speak to us? Sure he does. He calls your name in salvation. When I was doing drugs, we've talked about it before. I'll get into the testimony deeper as the show goes deeper and deeper. But the Lord spoke to me when I was doing drugs, said, that's enough. Two words. People are like, how do you know it was God? That was 42 years ago. That's how I know it's God. And so the idea behind that, he does, of course he speaks. Of course the Holy Spirit says to the church, not said to the church. The Lord speaks, of course he does. And Jesus says, you know what? More than important than anything else is the connection that you have to what God has to say. You think, but really, Dave, more important than food? Well, I don't know. Would you give your life up for the gospel? And then you could already answer that. See what I'm saying? Because the answer is already there. The word of God. Now, the written word of God is the established. There's nothing that changes. It is the authority, period? Can people understand different doctrines from different elements? Sure. Sure. But as long as it's the written word of God, that's the issue. Where do you get your authority? In fact, I had this argument with somebody. Where do you get your authority? They stopped having the discussion because they didn't want to say, well, it's my feelings. Well, that's great, but I'm just going to use God's word. So the idea behind that is for you and I to grasp that's what we're using, what God communicates, both his written word and when he shares or talks with you. You know, he speaks to you at night in dreams, according to Job. Did a lot of that when he was working with Joseph. Done that throughout the entirety of Scripture. Have you ever had one of those things where the Lord kind of nudged you or directed you? Ever had that situation where the Holy Spirit nudged you or put it upon your heart? Hey, guess what? That's the Lord speaking to you. You got ears for a reason, so he can share with you. And that's what we use on an everyday basis, which is why if you know what he has written, you will be more in tune and sensitive to what he has to say. Because he's ever going to say anything contrary to what's written? Never. The Holy Spirit doesn't contradict himself. The Holy Spirit helped write the Bible. The Holy Spirit speaks to you now. Okay. But is there power when the Lord speaks? I had the Lord say this to me. You just work on this and mull on this. I was mad at God. I won't tell you where, when, or how. And I said, you know, I don't think you're with me in this. And you know what the Lord told me? I am with you more than you are with me. Well, I can back that up with 100 scriptures, but that's all he had to say for me to know. Time to shut up, Dave. I am with you more than you are with me. Yes, he is. He is that. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, top of the hour. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the guilt, can't stand the shame.
But I want to get this specific scripture, and it's really important. It's Romans chapter 4, verse 18 through 21. It says this: against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it was said, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Hey, it was not an impossibility. God gave him a promise when he was 75. It didn't get to fulfilled until he was 100. 25 years between promise and fulfillment, God made sure he was good and dead before the promise came about, so that when Isaac was born, everybody knew, it's amazing, it's a miracle. Exactly. And it wasn't that Abraham didn't know he was old. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, 99 before the conception took place, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Verse 20, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. It doesn't say that Abraham went through this and turned around and yelled at God and complained. He gave glory to God. He knew God could do this. And he believed that the promise that God had given him was important. And he held on to that, even though facing the fact the circumstance was completely wiped out. Guess what? God showed up. I'm telling you right now, you can tell me all you want about circumstances and situations and your feelings and your processes, but I am telling you, when God shows up, according to Scripture and according to testimony, to the law and to the testimony, the Scripture says, to the prophets and to the testimony, here's what you got to be aware of. When God shows up, changes everything. And you're thinking, well, will that happen for Easton Scott? I hope so. But guess what? If my daughter spends her whole life believing, and Easton's whole life believing, that God can step in and this can change and that may yet happen, she's not done a bad thing. She's raised a child with this gracious hope. If God decides not to do that, instead of complaining about it, it's about giving glory to God, believing that he knows what is in our best interest, even when we don't understand. And yes, I get it. There are tough things. I went through a myriad of things, and I'm surprised. First of all, I'm surprised that I'm still alive. Second of all, I'm surprised that the Lord brought me through any of them. I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy of it, but he did it anyway.